We are very grateful for having another Lord's Day and an opportunity for us to be together and study His Word together at this time. This morning we want to study about the attitude that we have towards God, and looking at it from the standpoint of an attitude that we must not have towards God, and that is that we would not despise Him. There are a number of words in the Bible that are translated into our King James Version as despise or some form of the word despise, especially Hebrews. There's a collection of words there. They are really synonyms. One of the words means to disrespect. Another of the words that's frequently translated as despise is the word that means to scorn. Another one is to disesteem, or another one is to spurn. Well, to disrespect, to scorn, to disesteem, or to spurn, it shouldn't be difficult to see the similarities that are there. Some distinct words, but very similar in meaning, which is why they are all, at least on some occasions in the Old Testament, translated despise. There are two words in the New Testament that are translated to despise, and one of them is the atheteo, which is number 0114 in the Strong's in the New Testament, which means to set aside. The other one is kataphroneo, which means to think against, and that's number 2706. So those are the two Greek words that are translated despise in the New Testament. To set aside or to think against, I mean, again, those are very similar. We even have a couple of passages that use the different words that are teaching the very same point that we will try to look at during the course of this study at some point. But that's just to we'll emphasize the similarity in the words, and that they really are what we would call synonyms, very, very close in meaning. But he tells us that we should not despise God. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 2, he says, "He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him." So those are really the two ways that we can go. We can either fear the Lord or we can despise the Lord. And I know we've studied the fear of the Lord many times. We'll have the opportunity to look at this really from the opposite side, because despising the Lord is the opposite of fearing the Lord, in the sense that they are, it's a one or the other thing there. So if we don't have the fear of the Lord, then we're going to be disrespecting, scorning, disesteeming, spurning, setting aside, or thinking against the Lord. If we fear the Lord, we'll be doing none of those things. So he tells us we must not despise Him. Well, we might ask, well, how is it that we could despise the Lord? Well, one major way that we do that, and really in every way that we would do that, in some way it's going to be a function of the authority that He possesses. He's God, and He possesses all authority. He's our Creator, and so He is the one that has all authority over everything. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, Colossians 1, 16 and 17, says, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." So what exists that was not made by God, and what authority is there that that is legitimate authority that is not from God? And of course the answer is, it is all from Him, it is all for Him, it is all by Him. And so this is what he teaches there, and so to have the fear of the Lord is going to then require us to, as the fear of the Lord is to hate evil and is to love what is good and to seek and do that good and to hate and turn away from that evil. Well, that's going to be manifested in many ways in how we respond to the Lord's authority, really in every way when we get down to it. And that's why we want to start by looking at the application of the Word of God, because everything that we're going to do, the location or where we find revealed to us what is good or what is evil, so that we know what we are to love and what we are to hate and turn away from, what we are to love and to do, that good and evil, to be able to see that, that's revealed by God in His Word. He's the only definer of it. And where He has defined that for us and taught us those things are in His Word. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, he says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So where the Scriptures came from, is any of what we have here in the Word of God by the will of man? And no is the answer to that. And that's why we are not to interpret this. It's not up to man to explain God. God explains Himself in His Word to us. And none of this that we have here in the Word of God came by the will of man. These holy men of God that God inspired with these words, they were moved, literally born or carried along by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't their, they didn't put God's thoughts into their words. They didn't do any of that. They spoke and wrote only what God revealed to them, word for word. This is also taught in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Well, does this word here have authority? It has God's authority, the one that possesses all authority. In all of this Scripture, Old and New Testaments, which is the context of that statement there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all of the Word of God is inspired by Him, every word of it. None of this is from man. It is all from God, and therefore it carries God's authority. And that's why we say to fear the Lord or to despise the Lord, that's the choice. And it is going to be a reflection of how we respond to the authority that He possesses as God. Well, that authority is manifest to us in His teachings, in His Word. That's one of the major ways. And that's why if we fear the Lord, we're going to hear His Word, we're going to love it and do that. And whatever He teaches us is evil or does not work His righteousness, we're going to turn away from all of those things. That's if we fear the Lord. But if we despise God and His authority, then how are we going to respond to His Word? Well, someone who despises the Word of God is despising God, who is the author of it. Now, this was a problem that Israel had in the Old Testament. Of course, the reason we're told about that, if God's people in old time were capable of falling to the temptation and come to the point where they despised the Word of their God, can that happen to any of God's people today? And, of course, the answer is yes, it can. And it does, in fact. And God even tells us that today there are many, there are false teachers among us, as there were false prophets among the people. And there are many of God's people who follow the pernicious ways of those false teachers. He tells us that in 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2. Well, this goes along with what happened in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 30, we see an example of that in verses 8 through 11. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 8 through 11. "Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord." Now here the Lord instructed that it be written down and that it would be taken note, that it would be a permanent, an eternal record of the rebelliousness and the disobedience of these people that were God's people here. So this is written down. Why are we reading about it now? Because that's what was done. And there was a reason why this was done. God wanted a permanent recording of the rebelliousness of His people as a warning. So we're to read this today to learn what not to be like. These people despised the Lord because they despised His Word. It says they would not hear. They wouldn't listen to God's law. Verse 10, "Which say to the seers, see not. Which say to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, but cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." What did they think of the Word of God? They said, make it stop. That's what they said, literally, to make it stop. Make God to cease, to stop from being in front of us, from being before us. We don't want to see it. We don't want to hear it. Get that away from us. Make it stop. We want to hear some smooth stuff. And so they were willing to listen to whoever would say what they wanted to hear, but they did not listen to God's word anymore. And they would even speak those words to say, make that word of God stop. And we only want to hear the smooth things that we want to hear. That's what they did. And that's very sad, but God said he wanted that recorded forever. And he wants us to read about that, to learn from it, so we don't do the same thing. Well, in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he warns us that that's what happens at times in even now. And specifically speaking of Christians, that there are Christians that will do this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why would we be reminded to keep doing that, to keep preaching the word, to continue to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine? He says in verse 3, 4, because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That description of what the Lord says some Christians will be doing in present time, is it any different than what we read in Isaiah chapter 30 of those people back then, that God said, I want this recorded forever, permanently, their rebellion, and that they wouldn't listen to my word, and that they said to have me through my word to cease from before them. They despised the Lord. They despised his word. Back to the book of Proverbs, and you might want to put a marker there for a bit, because we want to look at several scriptures from this book. This is a subject that gets a lot of attention in the book of Proverbs. A book that teaches us wisdom, that teaches us the fear of the Lord. So we would expect, since we have that choice, as we saw earlier in chapter 14 and verse 2, we're told to fear the Lord and not to despise him. So we would expect, when he's teaching in this book about the fear of the Lord, that we'd also see repeated warnings not to despise him. And those warnings come in the form so often in the book of Proverbs as warnings against despising the word of God. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 13 says, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. So if we fear the Lord, we're going to fear his commandments. If we despise his word, we're going to be destroyed. But who are we really despising then? Is it really this object of the word? Is it the paper with this ink on it? This is the authority of God spoken in his word. When we despise this word, we're despising God who inspired it, who taught it, gave it. And so we have to fear the Lord, fear his word, not despise him and the word that he's spoken. In chapter 15, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 5, he says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. A fool despises his father's instruction. Well, when he's teaching us that particular principle, does that apply to the earthly authority that fathers have over their children in this life? Well, it includes that. But where does that authority come from that fathers have in the family? That authority comes from the father. But then when we apply that to the ultimate source, if he says a fool despises his father's instruction, well, who's the father of us all? And if we despise the instruction from God above, we're being the ultimate in fool as a fool then. So number one, we better not despise the instruction of the Father in heaven in his word. But an extension of that is not to despise the instruction that our Father has given us to listen to the instruction of our earthly father. So for children, that those that are still of age, that they are under the authority of their parents in the home, this applies. And this is an offshoot or an extension of that principle. What's the devil doing today with all forms of authority? He's trying to undermine it and destroy it. He's trying to destroy the authority of God and anyone having fear of the Lord. Is the devil encouraging this world to despise God? Yes, in every way. What better way to do that than to entice men to despise all forms of authority? Are there attacks on the scripture? Is the devil busy to try to undermine the word of God and to destroy faith in his word? to not believe that this is the Word of God, to not listen to it. There's much destruction of that kind of faith going on. What about the authority of the parents in the home? Is the devil doing anything to try to undermine that? Is he doing anything to encourage children to rebel against the authority in the home? Is there efforts to destroy the family as God has designed it? In every way we see that, and it's been horrible as in recent years to see those efforts not just being made, but having much success. But Christians must not fall prey to that and to despise the Lord by despising his authority as he's given it in the home. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, as part of the Ten Commandments, he said, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Well, that's what he commanded in the Ten Commandments back there in that passage. In the New Testament, this is included in the law of Christ. We would expect that. When did God establish, or we could even go back a question before that, who established the family? That was God. That's God's design, his arrangement. That goes back to the book of Genesis. That goes back to the end of Genesis chapter 2. God's the one that created man, and then God created woman and gave him to man, and God established the family there. And he told them to be fruitful and multiply, but the family was by God's design, and he gave authority to the man in the home and the family, and then for children to be under their parents. That's the arrangement. That's the divine arrangement from the beginning. And that has never changed. Would we expect to see that divine arrangement reflected in his teachings and commandments in the law of Moses, for example? Yes, we would, and we do. Would we be surprised to see that principle carried over and also included and taught in the law of Christ? That should not surprise us one bit. And it is there in Ephesians chapter 6, and this is just one of many passages we could look at, that teach that same commandment, that same principle. But in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." Well, the Lord directly connects those two things. We could go back to the book Ecclesiastes, where he speaks about the wicked and asks the question, why should you die before your time? Now, are there exceptions to the rule? Are there some times where God may, for whatever reason, have a young person for them to be taken earlier in their life? There are, and we see an example of that in 1 Kings chapter 14 with a son of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was righteous, one of his whole house that was, and so God chose to take him to spare him from what was going to happen in his judgment to punish the rest of the family. So he had a reason for an exception there, and sometimes that happens, and sometimes we see very tragic things happen to children, God has his reasons for those, but it is also true that sometimes he'll give many years to a wicked person. Well, he endured Pharaoh. He gave him more time than Pharaoh needed as far as for God to be able to put him under his footstool, because he had work that needed to be done, and he needed a Pharaoh to do it. So he kept Pharaoh around to do that work. He endured him with much long suffering. He was a vessel of wrath fitted to destruction. So there are exceptions to the rule on either side. But is being wicked a good way to shorten one's time on the earth, to give God reason to take one before their time, because God having no further use to work with someone when he's got no ability to turn him to him, when he's rejected God to that extent? Well, the Lord says so. By the same token, the other side is, if we show a fear of the Lord from the beginning by being humble, by being tenderhearted, where we are going to fear the Lord by showing respect to the authority in the home, that we're going to humbly submit to the authority of God in the home, to the father and mother. That's a very good way of giving the Lord reason to keep us here longer, to work with us and to use us well in this life. And the Lord makes that connection both in Exodus 20 and then here in Ephesians chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 12, when he's teaching us not to despise the chastening of the Lord, and there's that word again, but not to despise his chastening, which comes from his word, but also in circumstances in which the Lord will work to punish us if we've done wrong. But then he connects that to this principle of the home and the authority of our fathers in this life. Hebrews 12, 9 and 10. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So we better listen to God and not despise his chastening. But he compares that to the correction that we receive from our earthly fathers. And he says, we gave them reverence. Well, there might be some that say, well, actually, I didn't. But if that's the case, better do something about that. We better give them reverence, because that's showing reverence to God, because God is the one who gave that authority to our fathers of the flesh. And he's using them to correct us, chasten us, and to bring us up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And if we're showing the Lord, I'm not going to listen to those parents you gave me, Lord. I want to do my own will. I want to do my own thing. I'm not going to listen to them or submit to their authority. Well, we're not going to be on the Lord's side if we do that, because who are we despising then? If we despise his word that teaches us to submit to our parents, well, then we're despising the Lord who taught that. We're also despising the Lord who gave that authority to the parents in the home. So that's a very dangerous thing for any children to do. And this isn't just the fathers, of course. That includes the mother. The children have to obey their parents in the Lord. And that includes the mother. Back in the book of Proverbs in chapter 15 and verse 20, Proverbs 15 and verse 20, he says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. A wise son makes a glad father. Well, do we as a child, does it matter to us what our parents think of us? If it doesn't, we got a big problem, because it matters to God. Because then we're saying we don't care what God thinks about us, which isn't that the same thing as setting him aside or thinking against him or disrespecting or disesteeming him? Yeah, so again, this goes back to our attitude towards God. But if we love God and we're going to honor God, we're going to care what the Lord thinks about us. We want to please him. We want our Heavenly Father to be glad with us, to be pleased with us. Well, if we want him to do that, should we care what our earthly parents think? Well, we should. And I still have a mother, and it matters to me greatly what she thinks of me. But we should all think that of our parents. So a wise son will make a glad father. A foolish man is going to despise his mother, and no child should do that to a father or mother. Chapter 30, Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 17. Proverbs 30 and verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. So that shows how seriously God takes that despising attitude of a child towards his parents. If it's not enough to encourage us to want to make our Heavenly Father pleased with us by pleasing our parents on this earth and honoring them and obeying them, well, warnings like that, when God says that's how seriously he takes that, that he would have our eyes to be plucked out by a bird, well, that should make some difference, we would hope. In Mark chapter 7, this is one of the points the Lord made in showing how the Israelites in his time despised God and his word. And he uses that word here in this passage. In Mark 7, verse 6, he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside, that word laying aside there is that Greek word to set aside, that word to despise, that's the most common Greek word that's translated despise of the two in the New Testament. And so they lay aside, they set aside, it's despising the commandment of God. He says, you hold the traditions of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. That word reject, there's that word despise again. He says, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Well, of all the examples that the Lord could have taken of their despising God's commandments, and by their tradition making his commandments of none effect, which example does he hone in on here? This one in which they were undermining and subverting God's commandment to honor the parents, where they had a tradition, you could give a lump sum, a financial gift, you could give enough money where you've now bought them off and relieved yourself of any further obligations to do anything more for them the rest of your days. Well, how does that fit with God's commandment to honor your father and mother? Of course, the obedience part under their authority is while we're in the home, and then after, when a man marries his wife, it says then that he shall leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. Well, that's when a person, you transition from being under authority in your family to having your own family, where that authority of God is now manifest there, and then you bring up your own children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But when that transition takes place, and by the way, do we really see by God's arrangement a world in which you have all these young people floating out there really as free agents, where they're not under the authority in their home, but they also don't have their own families either, where they're out there just loving the world and enjoying the world? Is that the way God has designed things, or is that our modern custom? That's our modern custom. In fact, there's a lot of pressure on young people. Get out of your parents' house. Be out there on your own. Is this the devil's, one of his ways in which he can try to get people outside of the authority structure in a family, or to discourage them from having a family like God has designed? This is an opportunity or way for people to engage in all of these lusts of the flesh and the pride of life. That's not God's design. God's design is to have us in a family unit by his design. And we go from one when we're under authority to then having our own family with authority. That's the arrangement from heaven. We need to respect that and follow that, and not try to follow the traditions of this world. But that's what God has designed. But when that transition takes place, at what point do we say, now we're no longer under the direct authority of the parents, we don't have to follow their commandment for everything, so now I don't have to honor them either? That's not what God teaches. The obedience part's while we're under their authority. After that, when does the honoring stop? That doesn't. They're still our parents, and we should still honor them. We should still seek to please them. We should still seek to care for them, to love them, and to show them the honor that they're due from the authority that God has given to them all our days. So looking further back to the book of Proverbs, to chapter 15 and verse 32. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 32. It says, "He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." This is a very good point for us to recognize, as again we're seeing that if we not to refuse God's instruction, which is what despising him and his instruction is. But who are we really ultimately despising if we do that? If we're despising God and his authority, we're really despising our own souls. God's still going to be in heaven for eternity, along with all those who love him and fear him and keep his commandments. Who's going to be the one stuck in hell because of despising God's authority? That'll be us if we do that. So we're hurting ourselves. We're opposing ourselves and despising our own soul when we do that. This is something also that he teaches us in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 7, when John the Baptist, who was a prophet of God, was sent to prepare the way for Christ, the people recognized him as a prophet of the Lord. And when God, through this prophet, gave commandment for the people to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of their sins, they did it and by their multitudes. In Luke chapter 7, 29 and 30, it says, "And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John." So who were they fearing? They recognized this was a prophet of God and this was the commandment of God. And so they justified God. They showed honor to God and fear the Lord by submitting to his commandment, being baptized with the baptism of John. Verse 30 says, "But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him." And by the word that rejected, that's that word to set aside. There's that word to despise again. They rejected, they despised that commandment, and so they didn't obey it. But who says that they did that against whom? Well, it was against the Lord, but who was it also against? Themselves. Because when they wouldn't obey God, what was going to happen to their souls in the end? They were going to be lost. So they were the ones and would be the ones to suffer punishment eternally for their despising God and his authority. Same thing we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We all need to recognize this, because when we have opportunity to teach the lost, we need to do so with this understanding that they're opposing themselves. So do we go out there with anger against them because they're being so foolish and making such foolish decisions with the things they're doing in their lives? It is foolish, but they're opposing themselves and they're in the devil's snare. And so we need to be gentle in working with them and teaching them, and be meek in that. And that's what he's teaching here. Verses 24 to 26, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who were taken captive by him at his will. And so we need to recognize that those that are in this world, that are not fearing the Lord, that are despising him and his authority, they're opposing themselves. They're their own enemy. And the Lord tells us that over and over again. Well, we don't want to be our own enemy. We need to help those who are their own enemies. But we need to see that's what this world is doing. They're rejecting God. They're despising him, his word, his teachings, his authority. And they are opposing themselves, and they are going to be destroyed because of that. They're in the end, they're going to be the ones punished for that. So do we need to be praying about that in this world for mankind, that those lost would have the opportunity to come to repentance, and if it's God's will to give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth? That's what we need to be praying for. We need to be working with them to see that truth. That truth really is tied into this, that ultimate truth of the authority that God has as creator. If it doesn't begin with a love for that truth, that we have a maker who has all authority that we need to submit to fully and only, then what chance do we have? We have no chance for our souls then. So that's where it has to start. We all have to do that. And we need to be very minded that we're going to fear the Lord and keep his commandments always, that we never turn aside from it, that we always glorify him as God in every way, so that we please him and are prepared to be with him for eternity. This morning is an opportunity for anyone that needs to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the remission of sins, to do that. Or if anyone is that's present is a member of the Lord's body and needs to repent, this is an opportunity also to make things right with the Lord. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, please come forward now while we stand together and sing.